I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtung Millwall.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Riverside Stadium. Welcome to Achtung Millwall. My name, of course, is Nick Hart. And this is my first trip to Middlesbrough. Never been to this stadium before, so interesting from that point of view. We've got like a laser beam light show going on beforehand with We Are the Mighty Borough pulsating on the LED screens that surround the stadium. It's all a little bit over the top, in all honesty. The floodlights are doing a strobe light, and I feel an epileptic fit coming on as We Are the Mighty Borough rebels on the main screen to my left. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back after a little hiatus. I've been away to India on mafia business, dear listeners, mafia business. But I'm back now. Missed a series of disappointing games by all accounts. Last week's game at home to Blackburn Rovers was by all accounts a disappointment. So I'm glad to have missed that. I was actually in transit on the way back from the Punjab. Okay, from Mohali to Middlesbrough. That's been my week, dear listeners. Big team news. We see the return of the prodigal son, Ben Thompson, and the return of the other prodigal son, Ben Marshall, into a change lineup. I believe it's going to be a 4-3-3. I'm an iron bow tactician. I leave all that to the likes of Lucas Bull and Harry Warren. Up front, Lee Gregory today, and I would presume Jed Wallace in a further forward role. On the bench, damned with faint praise in the week, Aidan O'Brien, who's good in spells, apparently, according to Neil Harris. Steve Morrison, who can no longer do the full 90 minutes, of course. He feels his legs at his time of life. I know the feeling. The infant Hercules. What is that all about? The infant Hercules up the bar. Here come the teams. It's a bit over the top, as you can hear, dear listeners. Like the entrance of Guns N' Roses. Big crowd, about 400 or 500 strong today. I hope you can hear me over the top of all this absolute nonsense. What an old pony, it's a football match. I know that they want to whip up an atmosphere, but Jesus Christ, they've got the ultras at one end with their flag waving. And a light show, mental. I don't know what the infant Hercules is all about, but that apparently is a slogan that goes around here, I think it is. So away we go. Ryan's attacking the come on Borough end. early chance for the Lions. This is Gregory on the right side of the six-yard box, back across the face of the goal. It's pushed away. A little bit of early pressure from Millwall inside the first 2 or 3 minutes. Did you miss me while I was away? Who sang that? Oh dear. Better not quote that song. I hope you have missed me. Makes it all worthwhile if you miss me. This is Lee Gregory on the right post. A little bit of early pressure from Millwall. 3 minutes into the game. Here's Ben Marshall. Good to see him back. How will he perform? Been brought into as the man behind that impossible run last season, along with Saville, obviously. Hopefully we have a little bit of the old magic come back. First chance for Middlesbrough to break. 4 minutes on the right side. That's a poor cross straight into to Sean Williams. Good to see Williams back in the team after his injury. I was just talking to Nick Fould, long-time fan. I was watching the Birmingham versus Norwich game last night, and the Birmingham goal was a beautiful take and turn, almost as one graceful movement, slammed in the power from close range, controlled with his wrong foot, and then slammed in with his right foot. Real example of what quality there is in this division. And article in the week on News at Ben, talking about Middlesbrough and their £25 million worth of substitutes, but some belong to Stuart Downing. Just as an example of the resources we're up against, we know that's what we have to deal with and contend with. Long ball almost finds Marlon on the right side, dispossessed in the event. 5 minutes in. Lions looking bright in his opening exchanges, dear listeners. Long ball forwards now, though. This is Middlesbrough, their first attack of any great venom, but there's no one in the middle, and Archer should pick up and kill that moment. It's a long way north. I came up yesterday, stayed over at a place called Saltburn. It's a beautiful little Victorian seaside village, I suppose you'd call it, not far from Middlesbrough. A little jewel, actually. Been out for a walk round this morning. Beach, here, had a nice bit of full English for my breakfast this morning, so very nice. But you do see the impact of austerity on the country when you come to these places. I am not going to make many political points, dear listeners, but I'm hoping and praying that Brexit improves a lot of places like Middlesbrough. There's too much dead industry around here. If it's going to mean anything, it's going to mean that economic situation for places like this up north starts to improve. Otherwise, what's the fucking point? Saville gets his first touch of the ball. Rarely cheered for committing a foul. I don't have any problem with Jules Saville. Do you have a problem with Jules Saville? He went chasing the money. I'd chase the money too if it was that amount on the table. But as you can hear, the Lions fans are harsh in their judgment. Managed by Tony Pulis, of course. He was a subject of an interesting art programme. How about that? Should we talk some art? It was a pink trait. When he was at West Bromwich Albion, there was a documentary where they called him like Artist in Residence, it was called. And the artist did a study of Tony Pulis. Interesting. If you like that kind of thing, and I do, I bet you do too, dear listener. Produced quite a soulful pink trait of him, actually, this artist. Whilst he's working at West Brom, they're on a relegation scene, so they try to capture some of the depth of the man. I quite like Tony Pulis, but he's not got an awful lot of love going on at Middlesbrough. He seems to divide fans to what you're either in the Pulis camp or you're not. Here come the Lions coming down the left. This is Ben Marshall. Gets a cross in early doors. There's panic stations conceding the corner on the left. Already Ben Marshall making his impact down the left side. It's going to be a left-sided corner from Millwall. Is that Williams' take? It's a long way away. I'm right in the corner. Looking far, far opposite to the opposite corner flag. 9 minutes gone. In it comes at last. It's deep. It's towards Jake Cooper, gets his head to it, ball's bouncing around, it's loose. Oh, it's cleared off the line. Who's that with a shot there? I think that may have been Gregory. Hard to tell at this distance. Shot cleared off the line for Millwall, early chance. Coming towards the 10th minute. Just watching the chance on the big screen behind me, it was Lee Gregory. It was a great save, actually, by the goalkeeper from close range. Real chance for the Lions to take the lead there. That's going to go behind for a goal kick. No danger there, dear listeners. 10 minutes in, Lions very much on top. I never thought we'd be saying that. It's been a bright start. So far, the wing play of Ben Marshall and the wing play of Jed Rose making a difference. Good to see Ben Thompson back in the starting lineup as well. I hope you agree with me that there was actually no point bringing him back from Portsmouth unless you're going to start him. And it's good to see him start. He did last week for reasons known only to Neil Harris, but today he very much is in the starting lineup. And Ben brings you more energy, and that's what we've been missing all season. So fantastic to see the Tomo back in the side. Incessant rhythms of the drum, the Middlesbrough drum to my left. And their ultras end. I think they're called the Red Faction, a group of ultras. Savile getting rarely beat whenever he gets the ball. Number 22, as you can hear. My first time to the Riverside Stadium, which stands in the middle of a, I suppose you'd call it, old ex-industrial land. This is Jed Wallace coming down the right whilst I waffle on about the Riverside Stadium, balling from the right side. That's Lee Gregory taking Tony to the side netting. 14 minutes. Too narrow a chance, really, but the Lions are looking bright, dear listeners. Yeah, quite a spectacular sight from distance. Nothing else around it. I think there's a university next door to it. Otherwise, there's a lot of nothing, like a lot of northern towns. So there we are. It's quite a nice looking stadium from distance, however. Middlesbrough, if I were a Middlesbrough fan, I would say they're fanning around with that somewhat, but they retain possession. Coming out down the left now. 37 takes a shot, and that's blocked by Sean Williams. Nicely blocked. Gregory wins possession back and wins a break. He's got Wallace breaking forward if he can find him. He does find it. This is Jed Wallace. Can he finish? No! Jed Wallace! 1-0! Beautiful break, Jed Wallace. 5 yards on the inside when he finishes. Very neatly indeed. 1-0 Millwall! I want to see that again. Beautiful play forward. Let's watch it again. There we are, EIO. Beautiful break down the left from Lee Gregory, dispossessed the Middlesbrough midfield. Little pass inside, finds Jed Wallace in his forward role and finished very neatly indeed. 22 minutes. Just on a halfway point. No more what the Lions have deserved, in all honesty. I'm waiting for the replay. No signs of the replay. Oh my giddy up. It is a close shot from distance from the Borough 26, just outside the edge of the D. Daisy cutter went just past the left side of the post. Thankfully, a couple of inches wide. The ball's sticking at the Middlesbrough end at the moment, dear listeners. Going to be a corner. Can we use the Cooper bomb? A secret weapon that no one else has heard of, a little spy gate. And even though one thing, that's called Jake Cooper's height. Ball bouncing up from the corner. Falls to Ben Thompson, who's managed to push it wide left. This is Ben Marshall. This is Sean Williams. Little header there from Ben Thompson on target. The second coming of Ben Thompson. Lions fans in fine fettle. Good voice. A hopeful punt into the box there from the Borough right wing, producing catcalls from the home end. We're an unhappy group of fans. I think we came into today's game with them fifth. But Pulis doesn't inspire much love amongst the Borough faithful, who's maybe a taste to become refined by their recent spell in the Premier League. I think they see themselves as having a rightful place playing the European football. Marshall digs another cross in. That's almost Ryan Leonard on the end of that. Almost a flick header, but didn't quite come off. Borough fans very much getting on the backs of their own side at the moment after another wayward pass there. 27 minutes. Ryan's looking to break forwards again. This is Ben Thompson over on the left side. Takes his man on, goes flying. He gets a decision with their left-sided free kick from Millwall, just on the edge of the penalty area, almost at the byline. Could be Ben Marshall that looks to take it. Ben Thompson, he is indeed one of our own. Very, very true. So another good chance from Millwall here. There's a left-sided free kick, about a yard short of the penalty area. It's powered in, it's into the first defender. Built in 1995, the Riverside Stadium replaced Ayresome Park, a legendary venue of English football for Middlesbrough FC. Ayresome was one of the 1966 World Cup venues, but sadly outdated in the wake of the Taylor report, so they built Riverside, which is a nice stadium. I quite like it. It's got a little bit of character. It's got one stand slightly above everything else, so it has a slight, gives it a little touch of character, I suppose. Otherwise, it's just your regular, modern-day stadium, but I kind of like it. Skies above the stadium, sheet-leaden grey. And the floodlights are brilliant against that grey backdrop. I'm waxing lyrical because the Lions are leading away from home, 1-0 at the moment. 30 minutes. Lions, of course, surrendered a two-goal lead on the opening day of the game, opening game of the season. Against Middlesbrough, going 2-0 up and giving away a 2-2 draw in the end. That was a gutty kind of start to a season that hasn't quite ignited. Can today be the day that it ignites, dear listeners? Is today the day? So far, so good. Ball over the top. This is going to be Jordan Archer. Doing one of his madcap-headed runs. Wins the ball. I've never seen the likes of that before. He made a kind of a Beckenbauer-style run, headed the ball clear and somehow managed to almost retain possession. But now here come Middlesbrough again. That's a poor pass. Drawing the ire of their own crowd for that. That was a chance for them to break forwards. It'd be great to get through to half-time in the lead, won't it, Dennis? After all that we've had recently. Lions forcing Middlesbrough back. Home fans disgruntled, and road fans in good voice. What more do you want? Thompson does well, but Lions are dispossessed. It's an open game at the moment. It's a 16. Fantastic save by Jordan Archer. Close range header. Appeal for a penalty. That was a beautiful ball into the box, headed close. Beautiful save by Jordan Archer. Comes in 38 minutes, but they're calling on the right side. Real chance there for Middlesbrough. Ticking to his last few seconds of regular time, plus whatever injury time we get at the end of the first half. This is Middlesbrough on the attack, though. There's a ball into the box. It's a chance there. It almost seemed to freeze in time. One of those moments. Not the old magic boomerang. Remember that from the olden days? The magic boomerang was flying for a moment there as that ball stuck in the middle of the box. But as it is, the Lions do break away. And the referee blows up just as Moore may have had a break all out of defence there. As it is, very good half of football for Moore, 1-0 lead. Standout performance so far from me, Ben Thompson, midfield, but also Ben Marshall. Jed Wells, of course, a goal scorer. There it is, half time. Middlesbrough 0-1.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Two teams back out for the second half, dear listeners. For me, the Lions deservedly leading at the end of that quite bright first half by Millwall. The attacking towards us in the second half. We are located just to the side of the pitch, but they'll be coming in our direction for the second half. Let's hope for a second goal to really give us a cushion. At the moment, as well as we've done in that first half, one goal does feel rather a slender lead. No half-time changes for Millwall. One for Borough. Couldn't tell you who it is or who came in or came out. Barrow fans will feel themselves very disappointed by that show in the first half. They can only get better in the second. More cat calls from the Barrow fans as they go backwards rather than forwards. This is all music to our ears, of course. 52 minutes, Barrow surging down the left side. Ball gets clipped, it's going to be a free kick, or probably a yellow, I would think. Who was that defender there? I think that was Murray Wallace, was it? The old eyesight's gone. It's a yellow card shown to one of the Lions defenders there. And it comes from the left. It's near post. That's headed clear by Wallace, I think that was. So far, it's been 55 minutes. So far, the second half has followed much the same kind of pattern as the first half. Perhaps a touch more press forwards from Middlesbrough, but nothing to any great avail so far, dear listeners. 55 minutes. They're coming to 26 down the right side. That's a fantastic shot come cross, patted away by Jordan Archer. There's a 37 from distance. That's a shot high over the bar. Inches over the bar. Inches, not high over the bar. 56 minutes. More pressure now from Middlesbrough, as you would expect from a side fifth in the table, with ambitions for the plum top two spots. Certainly playoff football. Lions coming today's game 20th. After a decent run of results that came to a juddering halt against Blackburn last week. But this team today, from what I can gather of last week's performance at home, this is a bit of a team transform. We were playing far more vim and energy. And the Ben Thompson and Ben Marshall factor, which does make a difference. The ball out from defence is going back to Middlesbrough more and more often as the second half wears on. We're a little bit under the cosh. 58 minutes. Looks like the £25 million substitutes bench is coming into play, dear listeners.
Please show your appreciation for Boris number 16, Johnny Hanson.
Who's coming in?
And Boris number 9, Britt Sombolonga.
Sombolonga. £15 million player. If these things mean anything to you. Little dink forwards, trying to find Lee Gregory. It falls to Ben Thompson on the second ball now. Here comes Thompson, surging forwards. Can he pauses. Lions on the attack now. 61 minutes. This is Ben Marshall now on the left. But first time they've actually pressed forwards in any great number in the whole of the second half. This is Murray. He takes a shot. Almost as if it was Daniel Passarella from the 1978 World Cup, but only not, as you can hear. Ticking towards the halfway point in the second half. Borough on the attack as we approach that point. Been very much the story of the second half as they press forwards. Just two distinct chances come to mind from the whole game. but more pressure from them in the second half, that much is for sure. That crossing has cleared. Lions defence standing firm so far, so good. In comes Stuart Downing, the other half of the £25 million substitutes bench. Who was it? Son Records. Who was the main man? Sam, was it? Sam Perkins. Sam, main man of Sun Records, had the million-dollar quartet. Johnny Cash, Eddie Cochran, ball floated in. Eddie Clear, Carl Perkins. Who was the other one? There was one more. Albert. But up here they have a £25 million substitutes bench, dear listeners. Line substitution. Ben Marshall coming out. Ferguson coming in. Good performance, Ben Marshall. As we saw last season, the ball tends to stick with him up front. The quality of the crossing is better. So I don't think anyone can truly argue with the re-signature of such a vital part of the run that we had last season. Certainly today's performance more than justifying the loan signing to the end of the season. Consistently, Borough crosses are being blocked and defended or taking deflections away from their intended targets. So it's been a very solid defensive performance from Millwall. First time we've had to say that in a while. Looks like Steve Morrison's going to come into the fray. It's going to be Lee Gregory. Morrison comes in, Gregory goes out. Good applause for Lee Gregory. 79 minutes. Borough fans starting to stream for the exits. 9 minutes left though. A lot can happen in 9 minutes. Those boos are the Borough fans. Here comes Ryan Leonard down the right side. He's making a surging run. He runs into trouble in the event. They can see the throwing. That is what we pay like Ryan Leonard to do. And he did it well. Nice work, Ryan Leonard. Surging run down the right. Runs into trouble, but then gets the throwing out of it. 84 minutes. Nice little touch from Steve Morrison. Releases Ben Thompson, all over the top. He finds Jed Wallace. Can Jed finish it? Oh, glass it wide. Real opportunity to finish the game there on 87 minutes. But it fell to Jed Wallace. Couldn't do it twice in the game. Unlucky. A little take and shot in Mungo. Probably should have been a goal. Jed Wallace comes out of the game with that last touch. Run himself into the ground. Man of the match for me today, dear listeners. Jed Wallace. Run himself into the ground for the calls today. And there's the Jed Wallace song. Aidan O'Brien's going to come in for the last few minutes of the game. Here come Middlesbrough down the right side now, the 19. Penalty. Oh, what was that for? A handball? I can't tell you what the penalty's been given for, dear listeners. It was a crossing from the right side into a melee of players. It looks like a penalty's been given as a consequence. 89th minute. What a gutter. Fighting Mill performance undone at the death. How many times have we said that this season? The 11's going to take. Can't be taken to the left. Mumbai goes back to that chance for Jed Wallace before he went off. The ultras are in full cry now, dear listeners. People doing it out of the goalkeeper around me. I don't know about that. Is he a West Ham cunt? They give it a little bit of fist pumping action, nothing much. People doing their nut about trivialities, in my opinion, but there we are. There's the final whistle. Good flying performance by Millwall. I know I'll get told off for saying that, but that was as good an away performance I've seen in a long time. Man of the match for me, Jed Wallace, today. If we had taken that last chance, I can't help but keep saying it, we would have killed the game. Overall, good, much improved performance. If we play like that again between now and the end of the season, we have no worries, dear listeners. So there we are. Middlesbrough 1, Millwall 1. We're going to be right back after these messages, I hope, with a post-match review with Borough fan Mark Johnson.
Achtung! big welcome on the show to an old friend of Acton Millwall, Mr. Mark Johnson. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
Borough fan, as we'll detect from your accent quite quickly. last time you and me spoke to each other, I think, as we were just saying, you've been to the Premier League and come back since. So it was an odd game today. I found Borough curiously flat, and I'm interested to get your take on it because, you know, the form book and the table kind of prepared us for a bit more of a test than we got really today, and it was an oddly low key performance by Middlesbrough.
Yeah, it was. To be honest, in terms of the form book, I mean, I think we've only won two of our last 10 home games. I think we've struggled at home, whereas we've been a bit stronger away from home. But no, you're absolutely right. Especially in the first half, I thought both teams sort of lined up quite similar in shape and with a similar kind of game plan, really. It was kind of a bit ping-pong over the top, wait for one of the lumbering centre-halves to fall over and get a nippy striker in. But we just weren't on the game. I think I said to you in a message earlier, I felt like Millwall just had a bit more kind of energy and commitment about them. We just seemed really flat, and it kind of reflected the crowd, I think. There's just a feeling at the moment, I think it's probably since Pulis has come in, that it's, I don't know, we just have that sort of air of resignation that it's going to be boring, it's going to be a sort of war of attrition, and it's probably not going to get us very far. I know that might seem strange when we're fifth in the league, but I don't think there's any real genuine feeling that we're going to stay there. So it's, it just kind of had this similar feel to the last game I was at when we played Burton Albion in the Cup and they knocked us out. It just... that team that City put 9 past.
Yes, I know the one. It's odd. I mean, there's clearly not an awful lot of love flying around for Tony Pulis at Middlesbrough. I mean, as an away fan, you can detect when the home fans are on the turn. And there was a couple of misplaced passes early on in the first half. And you could just tell to our left from where I was standing, there's a bank of home fans there. And you could just tell there was disgruntlement in the air there, Mark. And it's music to the ears of the away supporter because you think, hang on, we're in with a shout here when we shouldn't be. But that it must translate to the players. They look like a nervous group of players, and they're decent players individually, but not playing as a unit.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think Adam Clayton actually said after the game, after he set up your first goal, well, your only goal, he said he kind of had a bit of a pop at the Borough fans for booing the players in the first half, saying it's not helpful. And I think you're right. I think they do look nervous at home. I wouldn't mind. We started off the season at home really well. I think we won our first four home games, but then we had one slip up and we've struggled ever since. Like I said, even Burton Albion turned us over. And I think it does. I think it does transmit so that the crowds are down. The atmosphere is just really flat. And I think that the performance of the team's kind of mirroring that at the moment.
So, we're trying to do our best to give you as much help as we can do, Mark. I mean, that was a two-goal lead we've given up at the Den and on the opening day. And now, of course, we've left it to the 90th minute to give you a penalty, mate. So I don't know what more help you're looking for out of Millwall, but... It was odd. I mean, we obviously have gone to the Borough to defend. We're coming from 20th coming into today's game, and Middlesbrough, in the playoff zone. So we've probably approached it a little bit more like a cup tie. But I was struck. I mean, I'm just looking at the stats here. I'm not a huge stats man, but we've actually had more shots on target than Middlesbrough, which is odd for us because we don't score many goals. So three shots on target according to the BBC, and just two for Middlesbrough. Yeah. That's a damning statistic for a team that with the resources.
I mean, it's a surprise to you, but I don't think it's a surprise to anybody in the middle. To be honest, even for the last couple of years when we had Karanka here, we've never been a particularly prolific team. And it's kind of gone worse, I think, under Tony Pulis. It's all very hopeful percentage football, which you expect with Mr. Pulis, but it we've got no creative. I mean, I think one thing, I mean, when I saw the team lineup today, we've basically played with four centre halves and five centre midfielders and one very limited striker up front. You know, so do the math. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, it's been Spygate all week, Mark, and I'm not sure what spying missions Pulis has been sending out from the Teesside spy houses, because you don't need to defend against Millwall, mate. That's for sure. We're not going to bombard you.
Well, I don't think you'd need to send a spy to watch a Tony Pulis team in training either. I think you know how it's going to pan out, and I don't think you're disappointed today. Certainly wouldn't have disappointed you, I don't think. So I don't think we're particularly difficult to play against. I think it's so predictable, slow and punt, which is what you would expect if you've got four centre-halves and five centre-midfielders in your team.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just disappointing, really. But like I said, I know it might sound strange with us being sat fifth in the league, but I genuinely don't think we'll stay there. And I think a lot of people feel exactly the same. So,
yeah, that was a general sense of dissatisfaction within the ground. Obviously, that was wonderful, yeah. from the away the away seating. Anyway, as I texted you earlier on, Mark, I'll say it again. I feel like I've lost £20 and just found a fiver, because to go that far and then give away a penalty. I didn't see what the offence was in real time. I was too far from it, but apparently it was pushing by Morrison on IAR. I don't know if you had a better view of it from where you were sitting, mate.
No, I was sort of down the other end behind the goal, right at the back. So I
grateful for whatever the referee would give. I must admit, I thought he was an odd referee, because he let play flow at times when I would have expected a different referee to have blown up. I'm in both directions. I mean, I say that equally for both sides. I think
there were some strange decisions about it. Again, both ways. There was some we got where I thought, how did we get that? And then, you know, same other way. It was one of those sort of referees you often get in the championship, isn't it?
So, quality of refereeing is poor. I think it's the cast-offs from the Premier League that, aren't good enough for the top flight, so they stick it in our division. But good penalty. I thought I quite liked the way he took the penalty. I wish I could take penalties like that.
Well, you know, it was one of our two shots on target, so you know, you had to make it a good one.
Make the most of it.
It's the only thing he did as well, you know.
There's a bit of a loving.
You think is,
A little bit of loving after the game. Pulis is slagging off his own fans a little bit, saying the team are affected by the support, but supporters pay good money to watch their team, and that's always you always know they don't really mean that when they say that, don't you? You know, you're there to kind of, you know, like seals, just clap and shout support no matter what you're watching.
I think the problem with the modern day Middlesbrough fan. I mean, I'm not too old, but I remember when I'm sort of pre the Ravinelli and Janino.
Oh, you remember the old days?
At Erson Park, you know, I've seen us be really kind of average, but I think a lot of the newer fans have been spoiled in a way when we've been an established Premier League club and we, you know, we've attracted big new players, played in Europe, and I think the expectations are so high, and now we're kind of at the level that I'm kind of used to seeing Middlesbrough at, and I think it's a bit of a culture shock to the younger supporters, I suppose. They're a tough crowd, to be honest,
on the backs. I know that much, and I thought, well, you know, that gave us a shout. We'd clearly come to hit on the counter break, which we did. The goal came from some sloppy passing. Actually, I think there was some of the passing from Middlesbrough today was very lax, which gave us a chance to break.
Yeah, to be honest, the only way they know at the moment is passing it in the sky. So when they've got it on the deck, it's a bit alien to them.
I want to press you on your views of one George Saville, £8 million of talent. He looked a pale shadow of the player that we let go, Mark. I don't know what you know. Maybe he's playing in a team that's clearly not happy. I don't know, but he looked well off the pace today, I thought.
Yeah, to be honest, he's sort of been a little bit better in the last few weeks. He was really, like you say, he was below par like everybody was in a red shirt today. But he's been getting quite a bit of stick, to be honest. And I think, again, the price tag weighs heavy. And I think, I mean, I'm exactly the same. I kind of look at him, I think, well, 8 million. What for? You know, I don't really see a
8 million pounds of a talent.
I mean, I know, maybe it reflects the value of the pound at the moment. I don't know. 8 million. I don't know. I mean, I'm struggling with him, if I'm honest.
We'll have him back off you.
Well, you know, but
we won't give you £8 million for him, though. We'll have him back for you, you know, if he's going. It's strange because he was actually a key figure in our unbelievable unbeaten run that nearly took us to the playoffs. Till we went to Middlesbrough, of course, when we were completely out of gas and got beat 2-0.
Yeah.
Back in
Did he ever play left wing for Millwall?
No, central midfield is his forte.
I think therein could lie the problem. Then, you know, he started on the left wing today, and you know, we had a centre half at right back. You know, we usually have another centre half at left back.
I think what it is, because I remember back in August when the season began, and we kind of thought we'd batted off the bid from Pulis for a joint bid for Wallace, Jed Wallace, and Jules Saville at the time. And I thought, great, you know, these are two key players for us. And, you know, then unfortunately the £8 million swayed his little head and he came northwards. But we managed to retain Jed Wallace. And I thought, well, if we're going to retain one of the two, then Jed was probably the better player for us to keep hold of. And of course, he scored in today's game. But no, it's interesting to watch the decline of Saville, because he was actually instrumental. I wonder, and I just wanted to get your views, because you've seen Middlesbrough, you know, prior to the Premier League's influence and post it. But sometimes I think players making a move to what would be perceived as a bigger club, it almost overwhelms them a little bit. And whereas some players, and I think Wallace is one of them, and Saville to a degree, they probably wouldn't like to admit it, find their true home in smaller venues, Millwall being the classic example of a smaller venue. It's the step up can be a little bit too much at times. It's a big stadium, Riverside, isn't it? It's a big ground.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's, I mean, we're not a huge club, but, you know, we've been an established Premier League club for quite a few years. You know, the setup there, not just the stadium, but the training ground. I know there was only 21,000 there today, but, we're regularly kind of between 20 and sort of just under 30,000. You know, it's a fair size club for players that maybe haven't played at the kind of the really top level, you know.
Yeah, he came from Wolves.
I think it does weigh heavy on them. We seem to have this transfer strategy, though, of we tend to sign players and we pay a lot of money for players that play well against us, but then when we stick a Middlesbrough shirt off, the fall to pieces. Brian Dean springs to mind.
It's like red kryptonite. It kind of overwhelms the player's talent, doesn't it? I was interested also to see Asamoah Longa sitting on the bench and Downing. I mean, one of the news articles on our website in the week was referring to Middlesbrough's £25 million substitutes bench, you know, with players of that calibre coming off the bench. It is a tough league, Mark, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I would have said Borough one of the bigger, you know, hitters in the division. But, you know, when you watch other sides such as Norwich, I don't know if you saw the Friday night game, but some of the talent on offer there, it's quite breathtaking at times. It's very hard for smaller clubs to hold their own. I don't know how we're doing it at times, because you know, it's all a bit of a wing and a prayer in many respects. But
no, you're right. There's a lot of money flying about as well in the Championship, isn't there? I mean, Aston Villa, I think, are in the bottom half, and you know they wipe the floor with us at the River. I think they beat us 3-0, and you know, there's a lot of teams that have spent a fair bit of money. I mean, obviously we're one of them, but
the promise of failure. I mean, I'm just looking at the league table. As we're talking, and there's Reading, who would not be planning for League One in their, you know, business plan. They've always had the Majeski was built as a you know, top flight venue. Same with Bolton. I mean, you know, they're looking pretty bereft at the moment. They're 23rd in the table. So there's a lot of big clubs that struggle, and you know, the price of failure from. I'm just looking at Middlesbrough here and the middle table teams like Forest and Villa for Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, these are all big sides, but it's, you know, it's tough when you don't succeed, and I suppose that's a danger for Borough at the moment, isn't it? If you playoff football's probably realistic. I can't see you making top two, mate. Not based on what I saw today.
No, I don't think there's anybody. I think when we were last in the Championship, I think there was a genuine feeling that, you know, we could be one of the better teams in the division, and it was realistic to look at automatic promotion. But now, similar to last season, I think it feels like we're kind of could make the playoffs, scrape it possibly, but I don't think anybody even thinks we would win the playoffs. I certainly don't. I'd be surprised if we finish in the top six, unless they pull a rabbit out of the hat in the back end of the transfer window. But it's hard, isn't it, to bring anybody in of any sort of quality. You know, we'll end up paying another $8 million for another George Savile, you know.
I'm hoping Pulisic hasn't got his eyes on Jed Wallace for another £8 million. That's, we'd probably take it as well, knowing us, but there we are.
Yeah, a good game, though. It was a thorn in our side today. He's impressed me a few times when I've seen him play against the Borough, Wallace. And I thought Gregory up front as well had a good game. He kind of played the role today. I really wanted Jordan Hugill to play for Middlesbrough. You know, his movement, you know, he was making some really good runs, and he was running himself into the ground, whereas I felt like when we went forward, it was all very static and predictable. I thought those two in particular were kind of a threat for us, and we struggled, especially in the first half, to pin them down.
There was a moment in the second half. I mean, obviously, Middlesbrough are coming at us more in the second, and you would expect that, and that's, you know, that's only right. But there was a moment, I think there was a couple of passing, I can't remember the players involved, but there was almost a moment of hesitation as the red shirts were pushing forwards. And as soon as the momentum just slightly stopped for a moment, the crowd were on them. You know, there was open booing at one point, I think, in the second half. And I thought, Jesus, it's tough. It's a tough audience to try and bring on side, because just even a flicker of hesitation, and you could tell the stadium, you know, the home sections were turning. So,
it's a tough crowd.
Tough gig. Tough gig.
It certainly is.
Oh, it's depressing. It's depressing. It's depressing losing the points. It's depressing talking to you, mate. In the nicest possible sense.
Someone will be happy somewhere.
I hope so. Where do you, just, I'll close out with this. So this Spygate business with Marcelo Bielsa. I kind of admire the diabolical intent of it in a funny kind of way. Do you have any strong views on spying missions and training a spy?
I'm kind of a little bit torn on it. I mean, it's strange because the scouts at every game. Mm. You know,
video till it comes out of your ears as well, can't you?
I mean, what's the difference between having a guy sat in a stand or, you know, watching a game of football? I mean, I know it looks a little bit more dodgy if he's there with a balaclava on and a disguise, and he's got his binoculars at the gates of the training ground. But, I mean, really, what's the difference between watching a game? Because they send the scouts there. Everybody knows that. And I guess it's just different. It's not something that's kind of the dumb thing in this country, is it?
I think there it is. I was just about to say, it almost feels ungentlemanly. We're going to be on to, it's almost un-English, isn't it, to openly spy on your neighbours, but it seems to be okay to watch video evidence.
It kind of doesn't sit right, but then when I really sit and think about it, I think, well, like I say, what's the difference between having a scout in the stand, which, you know, clubs have done for years? I struggle, to be honest, to kind of see really what the, you know, what advantage is he going to get. It's just not the dumb thing here, is it? Whereas it seems like it seems to be quite sort of commonplace abroad.
It's the normal swear, it just seems a little bit ungentlemanly. But as I'm saying that, I'm aware of the nonsense that lies behind that sentiment. So I'm sure they'll change the rules at some point to kind of explicitly take away the ability to spy, so to speak. But it does seem quite, it's almost like a Bond villain, isn't it? It's like something like Doctor Evil's lair. You know, I kind of admire the diabolical intent of it all, mate. Pulis could have done a few decent spies today, Mark, but As it is, we're both miserable. We've got to settle for something we didn't want. So I wish you well for the remainder of the season.
And you too.
And let's hope we're still in the same division next season. We can talk again at that point.
Well, we'll certainly be in the championship. So as long as you are, then yes.
We're doing our best.
I'm game. Hopefully the guy in the cap won't be hanging about for much longer as well. So you can see where I am.
I'll hear you, mate. Loved it talking to you, Mark. Thanks for coming on the show, mate. It's much appreciated.
You've been listening to Octoon Millwall, the CBL Magazine podcast. That's the Millwall news this week, and we are out of here.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.